This is Digital Dave again.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And guess what?
Guess what?
NASA's back.
Ready?
Yes.
NASA good.
We got to come up with something better.
Yeah, it's getting old.
Hey, we have with us today Sheila Logan. We're talking about Artemis. We're going back to the moon. All right. Here's the big question.
But you notice it's different this time. They're going to stop off in orbit, pick up some hamburgers, and then continue on down.
They're
going to
open a Mickey D's around the moon?
Sure, cool. Why not?
I only have one really serious question. What took us so long?
Oh, that's not within the scope of the program. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, first of all, pleasure to be here. So thanks for having me. So after shuttle, Apollo, we're landing on the moon. And after Apollo, right, we're authorized for a shuttle program. And then eventually a couple of programs later, we're building an International Space Station. And so I would say that there are a lot of things that we needed to learn because the intent was to go sustainably, right? It wasn't a quick stop and come back, a couple of days, come back. Really, the intent is to stay on the moon and to develop a sustainable presence for an eventual human exploration of Mars. And so to do that, we needed to learn on another platform that's a little bit off the Earth, off the planet, but, not as far as the moon. And so we've, been in low Earth orbit for how many years now? 15, 20 years? Yeah. So, we've learned so much.
Long enough that it's getting tired.
Well, I would say enough that we've learned enough that we can apply those lessons, right, to lunar exploration.
Right. Now, I understand. I'm probably jumping ahead here.
Yeah.
But your next flight, you're going to go 40,000 miles beyond the moon.
Well, we did that already. Did that with Artemis 1.
Right? Is the number 40,000? That was one question I had.
Well, the particular orbit that we were in, right, took us there. It wasn't a predetermined. It was more so that's the orbit from a mission planning perspective, that's the orbit that we ended up in. But yeah, this mission, I think the next one, Artemis 2, we should be. And this next one is crewed. So we're going to have four crew members on. They've been named a couple of months ago. NASA and the Canadian Space Agency named the astronauts that will fly on this next mission. So looking forward to it.
She's smiling a lot. She must be one of them.
When do they launch? When are they going to launch this Artemis mission?
So Artemis 2 is currently planned for November of 2024.
November.
And the crew
not that far
training.
Off. Yeah, it's
yeah, not
far
that
off
far.
At all.
Yeah,
that's a fast pace. Let's talk about the SLS rocket, the biggest thing you guys have ever built.
Yes, impressive machine.
Yes, yes. Now, when SpaceX started, they came to you for help and knowledge and stuff. Are you getting stuff back from SpaceX now that they've got so many flights under their belt?
Well, I think it's certainly a good relationship, right? I mean, there's a lot of learning that happened, in terms of SpaceX learned a lot, right? I mean, we were there with them when they started up and under the commercial resupply services contract. And even before that, we had the COTS demonstration initiatives that, number of private companies were granted those, space back agreements or whatever the contractual mechanism was. Now, going forward, when you're a private company, right, and when you're new space, as they call these, SpaceX and other small companies coming up, or no longer small, I would say, there's a lot of development, the innovation, the pace of innovation, and the agility, I would say, to get things done is a little bit different maybe than on the government side. And so there's certainly a lot of learning. It's definitely from a commercial perspective, that's certainly the wave of the future, right? So we have traditional space companies. We have companies that are doing things a little bit differently, and I think it all works.
Okay. Right? Okay. So we said November of 24.
November 2024. This is launching out of Cape Canaveral, correct?
Correct. Launch pad 39B.
Sweet.
Get your tickets.
I'm retired. I'm there already.
That's
I'm
right.
waiting for you.
Yep.
So do you need anybody to light the fuse on the rocket?
Yeah. Check the oil.
Check the oil, yeah.
Yeah, well, I would say, the attendance, unfortunately, I couldn't attend, I couldn't be there at the Cape for Artemis 1. I was
blasphemy.
I was working in D.C., supporting the mission, but from D.C., but yeah, definitely, I'm going to be there too, so.
Okay, now, what is the ultimate goal for the next mission, orbit or landing?
its orbit. So the first mission, Artemis 1, was uncrewed, right? We needed to test out the space system. We needed, the spacecraft, the rocket. I mean, these are all flying for the first time. Next mission is crewed, and we're going to also be flying some components, some hardware that didn't fly on Artemis 1, the environmental control and life support system. A lot of the hardware didn't fly because we didn't have crew, so it didn't make sense. It wasn't needful to have those, and including the commodities that we would put in there, like oxygen, water, and so forth.
Food.
Yeah, so we're gonna fly to test out the spacecraft system. So Orion is going to spend, after launch, about 24 hours in a high Earth orbit, circling, and really, we're going to check out the systems. Also, the crew are going to perform a proximity operations demonstration. So the Artemis 3, we're going to be docking to the landing system, the human landing system that SpaceX is providing for Artemis 3 and 4. And so before we do that, right, the intent is to buy down risk. And so there's going to be a manual handling sort of, we call it a proximity operations demonstration, where the upper stage is, once it separates from SLS, right, Orion is going to do sort of this maneuvering and the crew are going to actually check out the manual handling, right, so in preparation. So we're buying down risk for the next mission. And also we're going to be flying, a lot of new components in the crew cockpit. Well, so some new things.
With the Apollo missions, a lot of the stuff that was done manually, the docking procedures for a start. Is this all going to be covered by automation on Artemis?
So the intent, right, the baseline design and plan is for this to be software driven, but we do have the ability for the crew to, there's some operability, manual operability.
Manual override.
Options for the crew. So that's, there was a lot of discussions around that, and that's where we landed.
One thing I was reading about the I guess it's the Orion capsule, you guys are talking about high-speed return. What does that mean? I mean, you're coming back faster than Apollo ever did?
Well, so we're coming back, I think, at the speeds up to like 24,500 miles per hour. And so you're, coming in, hitting that atmosphere, you're experiencing heats up to, 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, that's pretty, yeah.
Right, but it's you're within the same speed regime as Apollo.
So honestly, I don't.
That's what I was trying to figure out. These guys are going to try and make that journey shorter by speeding it up, or what?
That I don't know. I don't know the reentry speeds for Apollo.
All right. Well, we're talking here with Sheila Logan from NASA about Artemis. Is the launch vehicle for November 2024, is that already built?
It's actually, the components are coming together. So we actually have, I think, the core stage. It may have already arrived at KSC, or will be arriving soon. And so integration is going to start. The core stage is built, right? Now we're moving into that stage of integrating the vehicle. So integrating the boosters, the core stage, getting the upper stage on, and then eventually, Orion and the launch abort system. So
this is like a big Lego set with a rocket engine on it. You've got
and a whole lot more wires.
Yeah. And all that integration happens at KSC in the vehicle assembly building.
Right. It's nice to see that building being used again.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple of times. That building is huge.
Now, what the thrust on this thing is, what, like 1.5 times the Saturn V?
So the thrust is like, the total is 8.8 million pounds. Yeah,
that's just inconceivable numbers.
Yeah, it's yeah. I don't think I recall. I don't know the ratio relative to Saturn, but definitely more than Saturn.
Saturn was
7 million.
7.8, I think it was. Weighed 5.6 million pounds, and I think it generated 7.8 million pounds of thrust. There was a little bit of kick there.
Yeah.
They had a little bit of a hot rod.
Oh, well, hopefully. And not as opposed to Starship, which just sat there blowing the pad apart. Sorry. It flew. She does not want to comment on that.
It cleared the pad. That's what they were shooting for.
In reality, yes. And I've never seen a rocket so big tumble before without breaking up.
But the thing of it being is, when you're testing advanced technology, and NASA's been doing this since the 50s, you're bound to break things.
Yep.
It happens.
Yep, it's part of the learning process.
And nowadays, it makes for spectacular video. The SpaceX failures have been awesome. They're not crashes. They're not accidents. It's an RUD, rapid unplanned disassembly.
Yep. In Apollo days, every ship was different because they learned a few things, they changed a few things. Are you guys going to arrive at a standard design SLS and capsule system?
So for the launch vehicle, SLS is the same essentially. I mean, a few changes, right? We're changing, for example, the flight termination system for Artemis V. But for 1, 2, and 3, the first three missions, it's the same. It's a Block 1. Beginning with Artemis 4, it's a Block 1B, right? So the key difference is instead of the interim cryogenic propulsion, you know, upper stage, the ICPS, we're going to use an exploration upper stage. So you're going from a payload capacity of about, I think, 27 metric ton to 38 metric ton. I think it's somewhere in that range. So we're preparing for basically but the fact that at some point in time, I mean, we're looking at... looking ahead to Gateway assembly, looking ahead to deploying other assets on the lunar surface as we're planning for a sustainable presence on the moon.
Very good. Well, yeah. I want to thank you for joining us.
Yep, definitely.
I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and I'll be there when they launch it.
Yep.
On EAA Radio.